I'm Dan Orlovsky. I think I drew the short straw. Ty Simpson is better than Fernando Mendoza. Shut the fuck up.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Football Absurdity Podcast. My name is Jeff Crisco, here with my co-host, Walker, no internet Kelly. Mike was at the Giants-Rivercats game, Valverde. Walker, how you doing today?
Oh, I'm good. Only a little bit sick, so we're gonna get this shit done. It's not going to be a problem.
We're going to power through, and that's why we didn't record yesterday, because Walker didn't have internet. And Mike, why didn't we record Sunday?
Oh, because I was at the Rivercats Giants game.
Woo!
It was a little unfortunate. The Giants won, but years past, they always had at least one starter on the field. They didn't have any starters this year.
Really?
Yeah, not a single starter, which was kind of a bummer, but it was a good game nonetheless. Eldridge went yard, so that was good to see. And it was a good time, but unfortunately, no starters.
I was going to ask, was Eldridge on the Rivercats or on the Giants?
Rivercats.
Okay, I wasn't sure if this game was before or after he got sent down. I was like, they just kind of made him stand in the middle.
Pick sides.
Yeah, they sent him down mid-game. Like, they're like, all right, Bryce, need you to go over to the other dugout.
Which is interesting, is he hit a home run at the Giant last night. They brought him back up for...
Oh, really? Game against the Sultanes?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they're playing again tonight, so we'll see. Walker, what were you going to say?
I don't remember.
Okay. All right. So we're going to go back into the rookies. We're going to talk wide receivers. This is going to be two-parters for both the wide receivers and the running backs. We already did quarterbacks and tight ends. Go back about a month for quarterbacks and 3 weeks for tight ends. So what we do is we watch the guys. We rank them 1 through 10. Then we weigh them based off those ranks. Then we create a consensus. We're going to be talking about when all is said and done, 12 guys that ended up being ranked in the top 10 by one of the three of us. And then we're going to do on the next episode our Trey Regis Memorial picks. So we're going to go ahead and get into it. Right off the rip, our consensus, all three of us, number one wide receiver, Mekhi Lemon, out of USC, 5'11", 192 pounds. I'm so happy that both of you did not have Carnell Tate number one, because that seems to be the overwhelming consensus. And we are all in lockstep here. So Walker, let's talk about Mekhi Lemon. He's your guy out of USC.
Yeah, 21 years old. Kind of mostly a slot receiver, but he can play outside. Unbelievably polished route runner for such a young player. Was an All-American this past year. One statistical oddity I like about him is that he averaged almost exactly the same yards per reception all 3 years of his college career.
That rocks.
Despite having 6, then 52, then 79 catches. So he averaged 14.7, 14.7, 14.6.
Breakout age, folks, in shambles. They're like, it's the same number all 3 years.
Yeah, when did he break out? Always or never?
Always or never. One of the two.
This year was kind of answering questions year for him, because he only had 3 career touchdowns coming into this season, but won the Biletnikoff, 1,156 yards, 11 touchdowns, 96.3 yards a game. He has less injury concerns than Jordan Tyson. He is quicker and tougher and has better hands than Carnell Tate. I feel like he is the most complete receiver in the draft. I like the Amon-Ra comp, but I would comp Doug Baldwin.
I don't think he's as tough as Amon-Ra. I think he's a little bit he's on the athletic side of the athletic versus tough binary, not to say that Sun God isn't athletic, but like,
right,
he's a tough SOB. And like, I moved him, he's kind of closer, especially the way that USC used him, where he would like get routes and carries out of the backfield. He would throw touchdowns, kind of like more of a, like very skilled. I don't want to say a gadget guy, but a guy they use all over the place. I gave him a little bit more of a Luther Burden than an Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Okay.
Yeah. You like, we all have a number one. We all really love him. I will just say a couple quibbles I have with him. He gets jammed really easily. And if he can get the gap closed on him really quickly, like if the DB doesn't go for his first move, he struggles to shake the DB. Like downfield, he doesn't have a lot in his breaks downfield, even though he is a refined route runner. He doesn't create any separation before the break, so it has to be like the perfect crisp break for him to create any separation when he breaks off his route. He also struggles to find the proper spot in the zone. A lot of times he was like drifting towards defenders, and I was like, no, because he would get hit like as soon as he got the ball. Also lacks a top gear, which is kind of what you see a lot of times from these like tough slot receivers, where they're not really like, they're not going to burn you, like burn you deep, but that's, you know, that's kind of not their game. So like I said, I have a, like, he's a top half of the first round wide receiver for me. I put him at Luther Burden. And Mike, before I get your thoughts on him, I forgot to ask you both. What do you think his RAS score was?
I'm going to go with 9.13.
9.13. Mike, what do you think?
Yeah, I was going to go 9.3.
He did not have a RAS. All right.
Oh,
Mike, okay. What are your thoughts?
Trick question. That makes it easy. Yeah, he needs a runway to get to top speed. Needs to be better after the catch. And then he won't turn short passes into long gains, but he can make plays at all three levels, and has ability to stack corners, which is really good. And then when it comes to deep throws, he can track downfield.
Yeah, so he's we all think that he's a first round receiver, yeah.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Okay, where do we want him to go?
Well, I think Washington would be a good spot.
Yeah, that's okay. Good.
Washington at 7.
Yeah, it's a little high, obviously, but I think having a really refined player along with a guy like McLaurin who can also win at all three levels, and then the rest of their depth can just slide into depth roles. I think it would kind of settle things for their offense, and it would give Daniels a long-term reliable target.
Yeah, I think that NFL teams are, I mean, if you go based off of like all the mock drafts, which is a lot of what guys are hearing, teams are in on Carnell Tate. So I agree when I think that that is a little high for him. Like, I don't get the Carnell Tate over Mekhi Lemon thing. Like, we I think we all have him 3rd, right? No, Walker, you have him 4th. So I think that is a little bit high for him, but if we're evaluating it based on what we're doing, I think that that's a good call. Although, Walker, I did see your Mekhi Lemon to the Rams.
Yeah, I was just making a joke.
As of, yeah,
doing stupid stuff again.
Puka, more like Poopa for brains, folks.
That's right.
Yeah, man, I'm just waiting for Michael Wilson to do something crazy so I can have the most problematic wide receiver core ever in my home dynasty league. We got Sun God and Puka. We just need one more guy to lose his mind and we'll be perfect. Perfection. All right. Mike, where do you think would be a good spot for him?
I don't know. I like Washington. They don't really have much there. Maybe the Raiders, but they're not going to do that at 1.
Oh, that would be crazy.
I don't know. I'd have to, Miami, maybe?
I mean, Miami's their number one wide receiver is Malik Washington. So, yeah.
Yeah. Great point.
Great point. Yeah. So that's a good call for Miami. KC might do it. I mean, there was a lot of people talking they might be in the Jeremiah Love business, which felt a little crazy. I feel like I'm going a little crazy with Jeremiah Love going projected to go as high as he is. But they took Kenny Walker, so they're out of that sweepstake. So maybe KC taking a receiver there, kind of shoring up both running back and receiver. this offseason. Might be a good move by them. So yeah, let's go to the second wide receiver here. We got Jordan Tyson out of Arizona State, 6'2", 203. Can you both guess his RAS score?
Jordan Tyson, I'm going to say no RAS.
Mike?
I'm going to say no RAS as well.
No RAS for Jordan Tyson, folks. All right, so Jordan Tyson, my comp for him, this was my favorite wide receiver to watch. My comp for him was Dante Alighieri because he puts his opposition in hell. That is a Dante's Inferno reference for you folks. He's a frenetic route runner with aggressive breaks, and everything he does just kind of puts running backs into a blender. I posted in the group chat my impression of every defensive back covering Jordan Tyson, which is shit, 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 fuck, shit, fuck, fuck, shit, fuck, because every step feels like he's doing something with every step. Nearly every aspect of his game hits hard when you watch him on tape. Great route runner. He's aggressive and frenetic, if not the most technical route runner as well. It's rare to see a break put a defensive back on their ass, but I saw it multiple times from Jordan Tyson. He's also a fiend for contested catches, which worked well because Sam Levitt sucks. That dude loved to throw Jordan Tyson into pass interference. Like, he would underthrow balls, and Tyson's like, well, it's time for a PI, and he would just draw the DPI. Tyson's a demon. There's no other way to describe him, especially considering that his actions mostly make his opponents see hell in a way we haven't experienced in since the Bible. Even if you manage to hang on for dear life as he runs his routes, he will put you through the paces and route to the target. Even if you manage to hang on for dear life as he puts you through the paces and route to the target, he still likely styles in your face with a ridiculous acrobatic catch if you stick with him, or if he gets in the short area, he jukes you out of your shoes. He still could use a bit of refinement, and my biggest fear for him is that a curmudgeon gets his grips on him and stops what makes him, a la George Pickens in Pittsburgh. We saw what happened when he left curmudgeonly Pittsburgh for Dallas. I think that he's not a complete receiver right now. He still has another level he could reach to. I comped him to George Pickens, and I also have him a first round, top half of the first round pick. So sorry, got a little rambly in there. It's because I did not proofread my sentences, and it got me a little twisted there. So I apologize. But yeah, Jordan Tyson, he's a demon. I love him. He's a little psychopath, and he's George Pickens. So Mike, your thoughts on Jordan Tyson?
He knows how to get open with fakes and breaks. He can play at all three wide receiver spots, which is really important. A lot of these guys can't do that. They're either slot or wing. Maintain speed on breaks at every level. Good body control. He will rush his routes. Has a history of injuries. Physical corners have their way with him. When it comes to routes, running at breaks, he will round them a little bit. And then had 12 drops over two seasons. So he needs to work on that.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, I like Tyson, obviously, wide receiver too. I think that the concerns with his game are more minor, but he does have the injury history, which is problematic. That's the main reason why I have him clearly behind Lemon. In terms of talent, I think they're pretty damn similar. They play a lot differently, but they are both really good. I mean, Tyson had 22 touchdowns in his college career, averaged 91.8 and 79 yards a game the last two seasons. And his quarterback was Sam Levitt, who I don't like.
He sucks.
Yeah, he's bad. I really think if he can stay healthy at the next level, I think he will be a number one receiver at some point. He has to prove that. And I don't think he is like best of the best athletically, but he's quite good athletically.
I have to ask, how big is the gap between Mekhi Lemon and him for you both?
I would say reasonably small. I mean, here, let me pull up my draft rankings sheet.
Sure. So, I'd say it's pretty small for me as well. We're talking like 4 or 5 picks. If Mekhi Lemon, well, I don't personally expect Mekhi Lemon to go first just because all the buzz seems to be Carnell Tate, but if Tyson or Lemon go first, I wouldn't be particularly surprised. And I'm prepping myself to tell the NFL, no, you're wrong for when they take Carnell Tate tops of the three. Mike, what do you think? How big's the gap there?
Not very big. I think you can make a case for either one of these guys to be number one.
Yeah, I especially think the George Pickens breakout last year did a lot for this type of receiver this year. Walker, what are your thoughts? You got your board up.
Yep. Well, very funnily, Lemon is 9 and Tyson is 11.
Oh, so not a disaster to go 9-11 though.
I was gonna say you'll never forget these prospects.
so yeah, we all agree. It'll be close between Lemon and Tyson, but we all think it'll be a nice lemon party up at the top.
And you shouldn't look that up.
You should. No, you should not. You should not look that up. All right. Any other thoughts on?
I'm looking 40? Something up right now.
No, Mike. No.
Mike, no.
No. Mike just disconnects. man. 30 Rock, a lot of problematic jokes. Best one, can't have a lemon party without old Dick. Just incredible. Her dad's name was Richard Lemon. Just impeccable writing. All right. Number 3. Carnell Tate. This is we've talked about him just a little bit indirectly because he does seem to be the consensus number one wide receiver that's going to come off the board out of Ohio State. 6'2", 192. This is the first divergence the three of us have. Mike and I both have him 3rd. Walker has him 4th because Walker has grown infatuated with KC Concepcion. Mike, this is your guy to talk about. So let's talk about Carnell Tate out of Ohio State. But first, can you guess his RAS?
I'm going to say he doesn't have a RAS.
All right, Walker?
9.7.
No RAS.
Oh, damn. Okay.
All right, Mike, let's go.
He utilizes speed to threaten defensive backs on the intermediate routes, gains separation with his route running ability by utilizing speed and tempo. Will adjust to the long ball, combines timing, body control, and catch radius to dominate and consistently wins on contested catches. Pass catching comes effortlessly with soft, strong hands. As far as his negatives go, his build and frame is lacking. Not a very good blocker. His 40 time displayed that he isn't a burner on vertical passes. Long arm cornerbacks will stifle him, will telegraph his routes by raising his pad level on breaks.
Okay. Walker, what are your thoughts on Carnell Tate?
I mean, I echo a lot of what Mike said. Never felt like he dominated the competition despite being a very talented player. I understand he's playing alongside Jeremiah Smith, who's an unbelievable player, but you know, never more than 52 catches in a season. I like the player. I think he can become a better route runner, but Mike, absolutely correct on the pad level on his routes. I see him more as a number two receiver. I think he can be a very, very good number two receiver, but I don't think you'd ever want him to be your top guy. And I have a 2nd round grade on him.
Oh, wow. 2nd round. Oh. I have him as a, I don't know why I'm shocked. Mine's late 1st. So
yeah, I mean, he is prospect 26 for me, but I don't have 32 first round grades. So
gotcha. Mike, what were you going to say? I heard you start to say something.
Yeah, I find that interesting too. But then you think about it and then you're like, yeah, that's about right. So
yeah, he's I talk about it occasionally with some exceptions. You find wide receivers generally fall into like pockets. Like you have this like top half of the 1st round, usually before pick like 13, 14, kind of exemplified in that. Like if you remember back the Henry Ruggs, CD Lamb, like that kind of area.
I was thinking Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, J-Mo.
Yeah, that's also a run there. That's also a run. And then you think there's like the 20 to 35 pocket where you get guys like Brandon Ayuk, T. Higgins, Michael Pittman, I think was a high 2nd rounder. Justin Jefferson, guys like that. There's this kind of
like Jalen Rager.
Yeah, Jalen Rager. So there's these like pockets. So I try to, you know, their higher end receivers tend to fall into one of those two pockets, and he's in that second pocket for me. Walker, let me. You said you see him as a high end second wide receiver. Let me read my first sentence. Tate doesn't have a lot of carrying traits that jump off the tape, but he is a conglomeration of strong traits that should carry him into being a lower end wide receiver one or a high end wide receiver two at the NFL level.
There you go. Yep.
Bingo. He falls in the same talent level as, like, that was kind of the same thought we had about also Ohio State guy Chris Olave, where we're like, you don't want him to be your wide receiver one, but he could be one of the best wide receiver twos in the league. What's,
I believe that's zero lines comp for him.
Was Chris Olave?
I think so.
Bang. Mine's a little bit different because I don't like him. But I think his best trait, despite his speed, is his ability to win on the second and third level, just because he has really good hands. He makes the minor adjustments downfield that lets him slip defenders deep in the route. Like, even if he's on like a go route or a post, he can make the minor adjustments to make the space. Pillowy soft hands, good ball tracking. The only problem with that is he's bad at 50-50 balls. So like, if he doesn't get open, that's going to be a problem. And what's weird is, despite the lack of speed, teams did play off of him. And he does a great job of snapping off routes, like for comebacks or digs. I'm sorry, comebacks or ins or outs to leave the defender still backpedaling. But his size is a problem. 6'2", 192. He's not like the skinniest guy. He's not like Devonta out there. But that's right. His name's Devonta, folks. Devonta Smith, he gets body trying to run block, gets jammed easily. Another positive is he does do a good job of finding holes in zones. I said that he's like a slightly slower Calvin Ridley. So I not as high end as Chris Olave to me. Like, I would much rather have Chris Olave than Carnell Tate.
I would agree with that. I think especially after this past season. I like that comparison for Tate. I think he's definitely in that range of ability.
Yeah. All right. Good news, everybody. The Kings lost.
Ooh. Thanks. Right. I had an idea, Jeff. I don't know if you saw it.
Okay. What's draft the idea?
Draft Cam Boozer and then play him like Chris Webber.
Ooh.
As like I'm interested. As like a point power forward.
A point forward?
Yeah.
Ooh, I'm interested. I'm listening.
I think that would work really well. And then you can have Fred Smith was talking to me about this too. You can have him and Maxime Renault play together and give up like 160 points per 100 sessions.
Just get rinsed.
Yeah, but score like 150 on the other end.
Yeah, I'll take it. It looks like the Kings need to get a little bit lucky to get Boozer to follow them, because they have fallen out of the top three.
Oh, no.
Yeah, wow. They can't even tank properly. They beat Brooklyn and Indiana. I'm like, what are you doing? What are you doing, you absolute freaks?
Well, somebody's got to win, to be fair.
Stop winning.
All right, so we're down. We're three guys down. We got three more. Mike, you said before we started recording, you wanted to talk about a trade proposal.
Yeah, I did. So I got this trade offer in a dynasty league, and he's offering Rashee Rice, Roman Wilson, and a round five next year.
So 2027?
Correct. I'm giving up Jonathan Brooks and 105.
I think Brooks is kind of cooked. I mean, he's had so many knee injuries. It's going to be a problem for him to get back to anything. Walker, do you concur?
Yeah. I mean, I think this really works out to Rashee Rice for 105.
That's exactly what I was getting at. 'Cause Roman Wilson also a wash. I mean, he was a third rounder, but he's done nothing. So is this a super flex or no?
Yeah, it's super flex.
All right. Let's see what we're working with at 105. So rookie draft ADP. Nope, that's 2025. At five, you could get Tetteroa and McMillan. That was last year.
We'll take Tetteroa. I mean,
Jeremiah Love and Mendoza will be the top two.
Yeah, then these three receivers will be there. Tate, Lemon, Tyson.
Yeah.
So
I would say it probably, I mean, the thing is, though, is that somebody will probably take Tate higher than five. So you're probably going to get either Lemon or Tyson with this pick.
Yeah. So the question, so that comes down to, would you rather have a shot at a guarantee of Lemon or Tyson or Rashee Rice? And I think I would rather have Rashee Rice.
I'd rather have the rookie.
Really? Is it because Rashee Rice has so many problems?
Yes, that is exactly why. I just don't want to deal with the headache.
Yeah, that's fair. Do you have to accept now, or can you wait till see where the guys go?
Yeah, I have to do it before the draft.
I don't know. I'm not super like locked into my position. I agree with Walker. Somebody's going to waste a pick on Tate, where that should go towards Tyson or Lemon. It's really closer to like 104, which I feel like is better value.
When you think about it, this 105 is really like a 104 and a half.
When you really think about it, like, Mike, do you need a quarterback?
No.
So it's like 103.
Yeah. I mean, you're not getting Love.
You're not getting Love. So it's like 102. So damn, Mike, Rashee Rice for the 101.
This is almost 101, baby. If you think about it, I have the number one pick.
Yeah. If you are getting tired of the Rashee Rice headache, which I fully understand, this is
It doesn't like not have Rashee Rice.
Oh, you're giving up 105.
Yeah.
Was doing this backwards. Don't get into the Rashee Rice game. As somebody in the Rashee Rice game, Mike, don't get into it. I was thinking about you getting off of the Rashee Rice game.
No, I'll be getting in the game.
Nah, I wouldn't do it. I would need something along with Rashee Rice. Because, like, Roman in the fifth is nothing.
Yeah, especially next year's fifth.
Yeah, I can get a 2027 fifth.
Yeah.
That's great. I can't wait to drop that guy to pick up pick in the 2028 draft.
Yeah, exactly. It's that's a Brian Tesh addition to a trade.
Where you're just like, all right, man, sure. All right. I think we're saying keep the 105.
Sounds good. That's what I'll do. Thank you, guys.
Woo!
You got it, boss.
All righty. Let's get back to the wide receivers. KC Concepcion, Texas A&M, 6 foot, 196. I called him KC Conception of a plan of a wide receiver. I don't like him. Mike doesn't like him. Actually, Mike likes him. I don't like him. Walker loves him. Walker's got him third. Was originally not third and then ran fast at the combine. This is the slander I'm putting on your name, Walker.
Oh my God. This is not at all. I just
like I said, slander on your name. Walker saw the 40 and went, ooh.
No, wrong.
Fingers wiggling. Moving him up the ranks. Don't mind if I do, ass.
Yes, Jesus Christ. Yes, he's very fast. He's also really good at playing receiver.
Okay.
He racked up a ton of production both at NC State and Texas A&M. Again, no quarterback play to speak of whatsoever. NC State never had a quarterback while he was there. And Texas A&M had Marcel Reed, who was fine. Was an All-American this past year. Type of guy who is used out of the backfield as well as a straight-up receiver. Probably too skinny to play outside in the NFL, but definitely can be very effective in the slot, especially with his speed. I really feel like this dude is like, what if Khalil Shakir was good?
What if Khalil Shakir was good? Interesting.
Yeah. I like his route running ability. I like his yards after the catch ability. I like how shifty and quick he is along with the speed. It just, I don't feel like his game is predicated on that blazing speed. He's a complete football player to me as well. I like how he has awareness on the field to get where he needs to go. Always knows where the first down line is. And he's tough too. Even though he's skinny, he's tough. He'll stick his nose in. He doesn't mind getting hit. I have kind of fallen in love with him, but I just think he's a good player all around. I think that he's going to will himself into being a really good NFL receiver.
Okay. So my quibbles with Casey Concepcion. 9% drop rate. That's bad. Doesn't usually win downfield a lot, even though I do concede Walker. He is fast, but I did say his carrying trait in the league would be his shiftiness. He can, especially in the open field, like you get the ball in his hands, and he's kind of a demon with the ball in his hands. The only problem is that he does get tunnel vision. He's just juking the guy in front of him. He struggles to stack moves, which most wide receivers do struggle to stack moves. That's usually more of a running back trait. He doesn't. So I'm trying to say this in a way that doesn't undo what you said about, he is tough on 50-50 balls given his size, but he is passive when catching the football. Like, he doesn't attack the football. He lets the ball come to him. There was a play again. I don't have my notebook here. Damn. I didn't write down what game it was, but, there was a ball that was fully intended for him, and one of his teammates jumped the route. So it's like, even his own teammates are like, you don't get this ball. Let me do a little, something that I actually wrote down for him. He's a dynamic playmaker who can make life hell on opposing defenses when he gets the ball in his hands, which is what also makes him a dynamic return man. That's one thing we didn't talk about. Concepcion is also a really good return man. The thing that makes him dangerous to have on your offense is the fact that he struggles to get consistent separation and is not the best at contested catches. He could have a decent career ahead of him as a returner and a high-end wide receiver 3. He could peak as a wide receiver 2, but I think he has zero chance of being a wide receiver 1, but he does have a long career as a gadget specialist. Psych, that's for my Jaden Reed profile in 2023. Casey Concepcion is another Jaden Reed. Mm-hmm. So that's why I said he's a concept of a plan of a wide receiver. Like, my same quibbles with Concepcion are the same quibbles I have with Jaden Reed. He's a conglomeration of skills that I need to see him put it together for a season before I buy in, which I'm not saying he can't. He's still in my top 10. He's down there. He's 7.
I'm starting to think you don't like this receiver class as much as most people.
I think I like different players in this class. I love Jeremy Bernard. That's a guy we're going to talk about next week. Yeah. I love Jeremy Bernard.
I also like Jeremy Bernard quite a bit.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm going to go threaten John Lynch's family to put him on the Niners. Like, I'm if I'm not here next week, that's why. I like Lemon. I like Tyson. Tate, I'm a little bit down on. Like, I still think he's a first round wide receiver. I just don't like Concepcion. That's really what it is. I'm not a big Concepcion fan. So, like,
yeah, I mean,
like,
and maybe this is a slight overcorrection on my part, I will admit, but he reminds me a lot of McConkey, and McConkey was a guy I totally missed on. I know he didn't have a great season last year, but he still was a lot better than I expected him to be. And Concepcion displays the same type of traits that I think McConkey has, where he is, you know, stronger and tougher than you think he is. He's faster than you think he is. As long as you can coax a bit more separation and more of that, like, attack dog nature when you catch the ball, which I don't think will be hard to instill in him. I think he could be a low end wide receiver one.
Wait, in real life or in fantasy?
In real life, I feel like he could be like the 25th best receiver in the league.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. I mean, 25th best receiver in the league, I don't have any problems with that. Like, if Jaden Reed put it all together, that could be where he would end up as well. But it's just I need to see him put it all together.
Yeah, I see more of like a Zay Flowers type player than a Jaden Reed type player.
Ooh, come back to me in 3 years when I go, hey, maybe KC Concepcion, everybody's given up on him already. And then that's when I strike.
Like, yeah, I did Zay Flowers this year. Jeff's going to slip right in. Yeah. Year four.
So a quick question for you both before we get to Mike. What does the KC and KC Concepcion stand for?
I'm going to go with Kevin Concepcion.
Mike?
Kentucky Chicken.
Yeah, I was thinking Kansas City. It is Kevin Concepcion. This yes, man's got a recursive. He's got a recursive nickname. His name is Kevin. So his, if you break down his nickname, it's Kevin Concepcion Concepcion.
This guy needs to go to New England.
New England, England.
Drake May throwing to Kevin Kevin Concepcion Concepcion.
Oh man! All right, I was wrong. Episode title is gonna be Kevin Concepcion Concepcion. I was going with Lemon Party.
I like that. I Lemon Party is tough, but
all right, we'll see. All right, Mike, your thoughts on KC Concepcion?
Has great burst and acceleration, eludes press coverage, and punishes defenders who try to get their hands on him, which is a trait that most of these guys don't have. They really suffer under press coverage. He will snap off routes, thus making it hard on defensive backs to cover him. He's difficult to tackle on throws underneath, and has good vision and a physicality to him. Unfortunately, he had a lot of drops, especially while in the teeth of defense. His compact build limits his catch radius, and he needs to vary his speed more while running routes so that he's more unpredictable, giving defensive backs a harder guess at what he's going to do while in the stem and breaks.
That's true. That is something that I didn't think about, was that he's fast, and he doesn't really vary his speed when he's running his routes, which can be a problem. So where do you have him going, Mike? Like what round?
Oh, I think second round.
Second round? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I won't say where I have what my grade on him is. I really don't
like him. I'm gonna guess third round.
Third round.
Yeah.
KC Concepcion. Wait. Seven. Hold on, not only third round. Oh, I put early third round. Okay. I kept bouncing around.
He is my very last first round grade.
Okay. All right. KC Concepcion. We're going to come back and Walker's going to be like, all right, I thought about it.
No, you stay in
there. Because you were like, I think I might have overcorrected, blah, blah, blah. I mean, seven, it might be too low for Concepcion, but whatever. Whatever.
I mean, I think the one that you're really going to get mad at me for is going to be next episode. Oh, no. That's, so never mind. I thought I had affected it too much.
Denzel Boston?
Yes.
Denzel Boston out of Washington, 6'4", 212. Also, you both caught up to the game, so I'm not doing the RAS score. Only Omar Cooper Jr. has a RAS score that we're going to talk about this episode. you both caught up to the game too quickly. So no RAS. These high-end wide receivers just aren't testing. Same thing we saw with the tight ends. They're just like not testing. Math bomb was too powerful. They had to undercut him.
You've been math bombed.
All right. Denzel Boston, big and fast. Two things that, according to my notes, are positive for NFL players. Blocks his ass off and will likely make him the run game coordinator's favorite wide receiver right away. He's a good deep threat despite not being a speedster, just fast for his size. And while his fluid movements and size work well underneath, he also dominates deep with them as well. He's a fantastic ball tracker and he has great hands and body control. I'm not saying that he's in the like AJ Brown or Julio Jones or even Drake London tier, but sometimes watching him downfield, I'm like, I've seen that before. I've seen that on some high end players. He's a good but not great route runner whose best strength is boxing out defenders and using his size to keep them away from the football. This allows him to win both downfield and in traffic. He should contribute to a team right away if the team decides to put high draft capital in him and the OC puts faith in him. If they give him 90-plus targets out of the gate, he could produce with that. I have an early second-round on him in that pocket for me. And my career is is the comp I have for him. All right, Walker, you hate him. So, Austin, you can see him.
What was that? Sorry, you kind of cut in and out a little. Oh,
so Walker hated him. Some call it Austin, and you can see him.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, I don't trust the speed. He didn't run at the combine. He is most people's biggest concern with him is that he's not very fast. I know speed is not everything with a receiver, but you have to have a modicum of speed unless you're like uber elite at everything else. And I don't see him as uber elite and everything else. He's a good mover, especially at 6'4". I do appreciate that. But yeah, I just don't see the, shiftiness really there. He reminds me of another Washington receiver that I think went too high and has not lived up to his draft capital. And that's Rome Odunze.
I mean, yeah, I could see Rome. I could see Rome in the range of outcomes. If you hate him, but if you love him, he could be Michael Pittman. Mike, what do you think?
Has good fluidity in route running. He does play faster. See, I disagree with Walker a little bit there. I think he does play faster than his 4.5 speed. Has long arms and knows how to use every inch of his frame. Tracks deep balls well and can make the over-shoulder grab. He's a major threat in the red zone with 20 touchdowns over two seasons. And good box out of defenders and runs angry after the catch. He does need to develop some moves off the line of scrimmage as press corners stifle him. He saw his production dip against better teams and doesn't make defenders miss on turns, on runs after the catch.
All righty. So that's it for Denzel Boston. Yeah, it's
he's a well-rounded player.
Yeah, there's not much to say.
He has long speed concerns. No, I think he projects as top end a good wide receiver too, and bottom end is like a overrated wide receiver 3 that everybody swears is going to break out next year.
Overrated wide. Oh man. Now I'm trying Rashad Bateman. Oh, Kev loves him.
Yeah. Rashad Bateman is like the very low end in my opinion, but the high end is like Cortland Sutton.
Oh my God. You're weaponizing my, Rashad Bateman hate against me. You're like, what, you know, this guy you like, have you considered he could be this guy you hate?
No.
What if?
Uno
reverse card.
All right, let's round out today's episode with our consensus wide receiver 6. That would be Omar Cooper Jr. out of Indiana. 6'2.5", 210 pounds. Like I said, the only guy this episode who has an RAS. It was 8.84, so not elite. High end, but not elite. And then for Omar Cooper Jr., Mike, this is your guy. Take us home.
So Omar Cooper, he has reliable hands in traffic and away from his frame. He has big and strong target who plays with physicality. Will find the soft spots in zone coverage. A red zone threat with 20 touchdowns in two seasons. Explosive when leaping for the ball and able to high point the pass. Runs hard after the catch with good contact balance. He was mostly used as a slot receiver and needs to do a better job getting in and out of breaks. Isn't fooling anyone as he lacks craft and relies on his pure athleticism to get by defenders. He needs better acceleration out of stems. Demonstrates poor physicality and effort when trying to block.
All right. Walker, your thoughts on Omar Cooper Jr.?
Yeah, I think largely that's pretty fair. I think the effort level, maybe I think he will try when he's blocking. I've seen effort there, but it's not that he's doing a very good job. I will definitely concede that. Was used all over the place as a sophomore, averaged 21.2 yards per catch with a noted chuck it downfield guy, Curtis Rourke, as the quarterback. And then when he got a real quarterback, they put him in the slot. And as Mike said, you know, 69, nice for 937 and 13 touchdowns. So he was reliable. He can make some spectacular catches. His catch to win the game against Penn State was absolutely bonkers. The body control to be able to do that is rare. You know, he has the ability to play above his athleticism sometimes, I feel like. I think he's a very, very good future wide receiver too. And I think that he'll probably play both inside and outside. I would kind of liken him to a Jacoby Myers.
See, my thing with I think he's a little bit more athletic than a Jacoby Myers. I do have a Jacoby Myers.
I can say that.
Yeah, I do have a Jacoby Myers comp in this class, but it's not him. It is, who was my Jacoby Myers comp? Hold on. It was Elijah Surratt.
Oh, his teammate, Jacoby. Yeah.
Yeah, that's my Jacoby Myers comp. So for Cooper, I don't think he's much of a deep threat, but that's not really where his bread is buttered. He can be.
His sophomore year he was, but this past year definitely wasn't used that way.
Yeah, I think his NFL calling cards are going to be his yak and his ability to create short area separation. He's a lot of good contact balance, doesn't waste time dancing around tacklers. If he does win downfield, it's because of his ability to high point a football, which is really good, not because he really burned somebody. I think he's a versatile receiver, good against press coverage. They lined him up everywhere. Struggles with a little bit with contested catches and does zero run blocking. Absolutely none. Does not care. Not his problem. Fast forward 6 years. I'm paid to catch the football, not block. That's what that will be, a quote from Omar Cooper. My high end comparison for him, I couldn't really think of this is like a high end outcome, is Stephon Diggs, but I do have him as a third round pick.
Okay.
Yeah, I was struggling to find who is a bad Stephon Diggs, and I was, or like a an okay Stephon Diggs, and I couldn't really come up
DJ with Moore.
See, DJ Moore, I DJ Moore's to me a bit more he's closer to an Amon-Ra St. Brown type to me. Maybe I'm a little bit more shaded by how they used him early in Carolina. My impression of how DJ Moore is used, but I think that Stephon Diggs and DJ Moore are kind of different archetypes. Stephon Diggs is a little bit more downfield. He can win in the short area, yeah, but he's more a
route runner too.
Yeah. Whereas DJ Moore is I'm going to find the hole in the zone. I'm going to get open underneath. Yeah. So he's 85% Stephon Diggs to me. To me, that's outrageous. Stephon Diggs, things of this nature.
Things of that nature. Yes, yeah. Indeed.
All right. Mike introduced him. So I have a third round grade on him. I don't know if I said that. So that's the first six receivers in this class. We have six more we're going to talk about next week. So to run down the guys in order again that we talked about today, we've got up at the top, Mekhi Lemon, consensus for all of us one. Jordan Tyson, consensus for all of us two. Carnell Tate is three. For me and
Mike White, the quarterback.
Mike White, yeah. There you go. Yeah, four for Walker. Walker has Casey Concepcion on third. I have him, just say lower than that, seventh. Mike has him fifth. Denzel Boston, Walker has, did I say fifth?
Yeah, you said fifth.
Oh, sorry, I was getting ahead of myself. I was looking at Mike's Denzel Boston. Mike has Denzel Boston fifth. I have a fourth. Walker has him 10th. And then Omar Cooper, who Mike and I both have 6th, and Walker has 5th. So those are our consensus top six wide receivers in this class. Lemon, Tyson, Tate, Concepcion, Boston, Cooper. We all have them going in the first 2 days. I think a lot of the guys we're talking about next time are also going in the first 2 days, it sounds like. So,
yes.
All in all, pretty decent class. Don't let them put in the paper that I didn't like this class, as I was so roundly accused of doing. So any last words?
I like this class.
I'm holding up guns. I think it's a fun class.
Definitely. I think there's a lot of different types of players. I mean, some of the guys we'll talk about next week are obviously, you know, solid, you know, solid players and have their specialties. But I really like, you know, I really like some of these day three options even. Not that they'll be elite players, but I mean, like some guys that we won't even be talking about, like Deion Burks out of Oklahoma or Ted Hurst out of Georgia State. I mean, I think can be players.
Where do you have Ted Hurst ranked?
15.
12.
Nice. Okay.
I have a fourth round grade on him.
I also do.
Yeah. All right. Deion Burks, let's see. I got Calvin. Oh, wait. No, we're not doing notebook dump. But I will say, I had to dive back into my memory banks, because I was like, what was that guy's name? I do have a Dexter McCluster comp in this class.
Is it my Regis pick?
Who is your Regis pick? No, I have not watched your Regis pick yet. That's the only wide receiver I haven't watched that we're going to talk about.
I have another question, and it's a weird one. Is your Dexter McCluster comp white?
Is he? I don't believe he is. Hold on.
Okay, then he definitely isn't, because the guy I was thinking of is Caden Wheatgen from Iowa, and he is so white.
No, it's Kevin Coleman Jr.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He's not that small.
Dexter McCluster is bigger than you thought.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, Dexter McCluster was 5'9", 165. Kevin Coleman's 5'10", 179. So, like, a little bit lighter. Yeah. But just the play style I have him. So, all right, we'll do notebook dump next time. No, notebook dump. So, for Mike and Walker, this is Jeff. We'll be back next week in the Patreon to talk the second half of this class and ramble about random D guys. What do you know about Eric Rivers? How do you feel about Skylar Bell? I know Mike likes him.
Mike likes him.
That's my Trey Regis guy.
Yeah. All right.
What y'all know about John Carroll's own Tyron Montgomery?
I know nothing. I did not watch him.
Fair.
All right, goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
See ya.